This meeting is called to order. Everybody, I'll open up with a prayer and then the pledge allegiance. Heavenly Father, we ask you for your blessings this day to watch over each and every individual. We thank you for the beautiful weather that you brought upon our city. Thank you for the sunshine. We are very fortunate to live where we are in beautiful Savannah. We ask you to please bless our troops around the world and here in the USA, the men and women who protect our country. We ask you, Lord, to please look over our commission today and all those who are involved, that we make the right decisions for the betterment of our community. In your name we pray, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Good afternoon, everybody. For today's agenda for the February 23rd, 2021 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission, the agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of 10 to 20 minutes. The board may then ask the questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, please use raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use raise your hand feature on your computer during the hearing of that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speaker will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use raise your hand feature on your computer. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal, and then additional needed questions by the board will take place. Finally, the board will take action. Thank you. First, we'll do is take a vote on the approval of the agenda. Motion's made, second. Rural Joiner, how do you vote?
Approve.
Tom Woodworthy?
Aye.
Linda Southers? No.
No.
Linda, are you there? Okay. Dwayne Stevens?
Aye.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Elizabeth Epstein? Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker? Eula Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah? Mr. Lee Smith made the motion.
Yes.
And Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Is Elizabeth Epstein here today?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Did you not?
Next will be notice, proclamations, and acknowledgments. March 16th, 2021 Finance Committee meeting will take place at 11 a.m. Then you have March 16th, our Personnel Committee meeting will take place at 10:30 a.m. And on March 16th, our regular MPC business meeting will take place at 1:30. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Item number six, rezoning map amendment, 8020 Waters Avenue, rezoned from RSF 10 to O1. Item number seven, rezoning map amendment, 11 Quaco Road, rezoned from RA to BN. Item number eight, rezoning map amendment, Quaco Road, rezoned from RA to BN. I need a motion for a vote.
Make a
motion. To approve it? Okay. Who seconded? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Somebody say something?
Mr. Chair, this is Karen Jarrett. Could the people in the meeting room use their mics when they speak so that those of us online can hear what they're saying? And is there anyone in attendance who wanted to speak on those things that might need to be reminded to come to the next meeting?
Thank you for reminding us that. Yes, we'll be happy to put on our microphones. And is anybody in the audience wish to speak on these items or present to speak on these items? Raise your hand on your computer, please. There's nobody physically in our audience to do this, so to speak on these. There's nobody. Thank you, Ms. Jarrett, for reminding.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we will put on our microphones as we speak. So I'm gonna call it for a vote. We had a second. We already had a second. Mr. Tom Woodworthy, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Lauren Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Motion passes. Items requested to be withdrawn. Item number nine is special use approval request, 2410 Skidaway Road with restaurant and alcohol sales. I need a motion to vote on this.
So moved.
Second.
Joe Irvin.
Mr. Woodworthy, how do you vote?
Aye.
Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker?
Yes.
Mr. Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Lauren Bowles?
Yes.
And Mr. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes. Now we go to the consent agenda. Item number 10, approval of the February 2nd, 21 briefing regular meeting minutes. Item 11, authorize executive director to execute contract with consultant for SR21 access management study. Number 12, authorize executive director to execute contract with consultant for SR307 corridor study. Do I have a motion to accept?
Do you need these individually or collectively?
We can do it collectively.
Motion to approve consent agenda in its entirety.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Tom Woodworthy?
Aye.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Dwayne Stevens? Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Sheila Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Smith, yes. Lauren Bowles?
Yes.
Motion passes. There's no old business, so we're going to go to regular business. And Mr. Lotson will take over for item 13, special use approval request on 4429 Skidaway Road.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. And before I go into the details of this particular request, I just want to quickly go over special uses as they exist in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance. Within our ordinance, each zoning classification has uses which are either permitted by right, or in some cases, they're considered limited uses, which means they have conditions. And in other cases, they're special uses. And a special use, when identified in the zoning ordinance, is a use that may be appropriate at a given location, but requires a public hearing and a determination made by this body as to whether or not the special use is appropriate, given the individual circumstances as presented. And then that action that this body takes will then be forwarded to the City Council, in this case, for a final determination as to whether approve, deny, or approve with some other conditions. As for this property, this is a property located at 4429 Skidaway Road. This is a vicinity map that shows the subject property highlighted with a star here at the corner of the intersection of LaRoche Avenue and Skidaway Road. This is a tax map that shows the subject property, and as you can see, it's an existing multi-tenant shopping center with one out parcel shop on that parcel. And this property is within the BN or neighborhood business zoning classification, as I identified here on a zoning map. As you can see, the adjacent parcels are RSF6, which is a single family residential zoning classification, and across Skidaway Road, OIE, which is the campus of Savannah State University. This is an aerial map that shows the subject property, associated parking, and the adjacent parcels in the area. The petitioner is requesting special use approval pursuant to section 3.10 of the zoning ordinance in order to establish a restaurant bar at this location. The building that's on the parcel is a 13,000 square foot commercial building, originally constructed in 1965 and substantially renovated in 1985. As you can probably tell by this aerial view, there are some non-conformities associated with this, being that it was originally constructed prior to zoning in Savannah, particularly as it relates to the required parking. This is on about 1.4 acres, and the petitioner's tenant space is about 4,400 square feet in size. The City of Savannah, based on some information provided by the applicant, has determined that both the restaurant and bar tavern principal uses are applicable in this case. Those are two different uses within the zoning ordinance. And just for clarification, a restaurant with alcohol sales is a permitted use in the BN zoning district. But based on some information that I'm going to go through here in just a second, the city determined that this was not only a restaurant, but also a bar, which would then require the special use approval. So that's why we're here today for this discussion. One of the things that was provided by the applicant was a business plan. And within that plan that was attached to the application, some of the things that struck staff as it relates to classifying this use were the hours of operation, which were identified in the business plan as 4:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. Thursday through Sunday. The fact that they would at times have events with entry fees between $10 and $15 per person. And they outlined a very detailed security plan, which included the numbers of security personnel, door checks, ID checks, wristbands, and crowd control techniques that would they would provide as the managers of the business. I think some of this is probably related to the fact that a previous use at this location became an issue with the city of Savannah from a compliance standpoint. This applicant is not that manager of that business, and as to my knowledge, not associated with those individuals that ran the business before, and I believe it was closed in 2018. I mean, and I'll just verify that, but I think that was the last time it operated as a sports bar. Yeah, 2018 it was closed. This is a street view of the commercial space, and the proposed tenant space is here. As I mentioned, and this is a copy of the petitioner's business plan, where they identified some of the things that I described. And based on that, staff did a review of the special use criteria, considering both the potentiality of a restaurant at this location, as well as a potential bar. And when going through those review criteria, the first of those criteria is whether or not the special use is consistent with the goals and strategies, the various plans in place in the city. And the zoning, and as I mentioned, the zoning is neighborhood business. Neighborhood business is designed to have small-scale retail, neighborhood-oriented, non-residential uses, and limited commercial, and is designed to reduce and prevent impacts on adjacent and nearby residential uses. We feel like this business, as described by the applicant, is not consistent with that criteria. We are also tasked with considering whether the special use is potentially a detriment to adjacent uses in the general vicinity relative to intensity, traffic, noise, hours of operation. And our review concludes that this is a possible circumstance that could result. The use previously at times when it was at capacity did create issues as it relates to parking overflow into the adjacent properties. Whether the subject property is adequate shape and size to accommodate the use, as I mentioned before, the shopping center is underparked from a standpoint of consistency with the zoning ordinance. And that is one of the things that is oftentimes an issue for neighboring properties, as overflow does happen. The special use provisions of the ordinance are designed to allow the review authority to consider uses within a zoning district that might be appropriate, but not allowed by right. The review criteria that I just outlined are the criteria for making a recommendation to the council. We believe that the intent of the zoning district in this case is to provide neighborhood services that are harmonious with residential uses. And as described by the petitioner, we do not believe that this use would be harmonious with residential uses, especially as it relates to hours of operation, potential security issues, and events that seem to be not consistent with a typical sit-down restaurant. So based on these findings, staff concludes that recommends, I should say, denial of the special use request based on the special use criteria. And I'll be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Is the petitioner present?
Ms. Treadwell, she on the line.
Okay, before we go there, is there any commissioner that needs to ask Mr. Hodson any questions? If not, then I'll ask the petitioner to state your name.
Ms. Treadwell, if you're on the line, the chairman has given you the floor.
We can't hear you, ma'am. I don't know if you have your mute button on, maybe, or.
Ms. Treadwell, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. Can you please try adjusting your volume to see if that would help? Ms. Treadwell, in the email you received, there's also a phone number that you could try to call in on.
I ask if anybody else in the audience is wanting to speak on this issue, to raise your hand on the computer. There's a raise your hand feature. There's nobody out there. Okay. I tell you what we can do. Let her know. We'll go to the next item. Okay. And we'll come back to this item.
Can you guys hear me?
There you go.
What's wrong with this thing? I'm so sorry. Can you hear me perfectly?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
Please state your name for the record.
Okay. My name is Capricia Treadwell. And good afternoon to you guys. I'm here to represent my business and to give you guys a little bit of information about my plans. And can you hear me?
I'm going to allow you 10 to 20 minutes to speak, okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. That's fine. Okay. I'm just trying to give you guys a little bit of information about my goals and plans for the east side of Savannah. I'm a mail carrier here in Savannah, so you can tell I walk the streets every day. I'm outside dealing with the community every day. I'm very hands-on with the community. My plans, I did not know that I would have to go through the MPC. This is something, a process that I did not know I was going to have to go through, but I'm very grateful to be here and to be representing my business. But dealing with the history of this establishment, I do understand how it is necessary to get the approval from the MPC because of the history. Now, my plans of operating this business are very different from what previously was there. I plan on using security. I don't know if you guys looked over my business plan, but I plan on using security both on the inside and the outside. And I also plan on using off-duty police officers. I also know that the parking was a huge issue before. I was a student athlete at Savannah State. I graduated cum laude, so I have a lot of experience. I was a guest there, as you can say. So I saw the problems of the establishment. I've worked and been a manager at other restaurants, so I know the ins and outs of running a business. And I know that security is something that our community deserves and that this location needs in order to be successful. Now, in terms of dealing with the parking, I've already gone ahead and talked to all of the business owners in the plaza, and we're all on the same page. I've even talked to the owner of the Family Dollar and the laundry mat across the street, and we're all on the same page. We're going to be using hooking towing and making sure that any cars that are lingering around are getting out of there, and we're not going to be having all those pileups that used to be there. I understand that the hours of operation are a question and a concern. And I just want you guys to know that I'm willing to work with you guys as far as with the community. If I need to close at 12 midnight, that's fine. I will do that. If I need to be out, I didn't know that me putting from 4:30 p.m. to 1:30 a.m. was going to be such a, you know, I put a little bit more detail into my business plan with you guys to let you guys know that I do plan on being open for lunch. I plan on serving lunch and eventually opening 7 days a week. But due to COVID, that's why I just said Thursday through Sunday, because those are the main days that people are out and about, and, you know, willing to come out after they get off from work, or, you know, coming up, wanting to come in and catch a game or whatever, you know, whatever they're trying to do. But I just want to be able to give this side of town some great food, some good times, and give them a safe place where they can come together as one with Savannah State and be able to enjoy themselves. Now, I understand that alcohol is a concern. I understand that. Like I said before, I've worked in establishments where I've seen them be closed due to somebody, you know, underage drinking. I don't support that. I'm going to be making sure that I've even specially built my bar inside of the establishment to make sure that our bartenders can see over the floor. They're going to be our extra eyes for the security, so that there's no passing of the wristbands. There's no none of that stuff. And even if you're going to buy alcohol, you're going to be required to buy an appetizer or a little small entree to go with that. We're not just going to be pushing alcohol as our main source, because our main goal is to operate as a restaurant. But being given this special use permit will give us, you know, that extra lift we need, especially during COVID, to be able to operate as a better establishment for our community, to give them more than what they have right now. They have nothing on that side of town. We're right here on the Skidaway Strip, where the main, you know, establishments are eating establishments. So we're trying to give the other side of Skidaway somewhere where they can come and eat and chill and watch the game too. They need their own Coach's Corner on that side of town, and we're trying to give them that. And I just want this chance to be able to get this special use permit, to be able to go to the next step, to present my business and my plans and aspirations for this side of town to city council. And I do plan on extremely focusing on crowd control, parking, and underage drinking. Those are my three main concerns for this community, because I do understand, again, I'm just going to keep reiterating, I understand all of the history that occurred with this location. And I don't plan on allowing, as you said before, I'm not even tied to anybody that operated the establishment before. This is a whole new, you know, business that we're bringing to this side of town. And I just want to be given the chance to operate fully as safely as possible and just, you know, get a chance to be able to do what we do best and give some good food to that side of town. And I just thank you guys for your time. And I'm just open to any questions you guys have.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there any questions of board? Mr. Wayne Noah?
I have a question. It's for both staff and Ms. Treadwell. The hours of operation for the special use permit is the time?
Yes, I would have put more information about that. I actually plan on being open for lunch Monday through Friday, sir, from 11:30 a.m. through 1:30 p.m. My staff knows this. I wish I would have put it in my business plan, so you guys wouldn't just think I'm just planning on being open at night, because we do plan on serving lunch. But our main hours of operation are going to be from our dinner hours from 4:30 p.m. to about 12 midnight, so people can watch the end of the game.
And for staff, the 1:30 or 12, does that make a difference here?
Well, from our standpoint, Mr. Noah, and the reason we brought it up and made it a point pointed out in the staff report is because the application, when it read those hours, that indicated to us that it was not a traditional restaurant. So that was one of the factors that we considered in our recommendation. Yes, sir.
But I just want to add into that, it's not a traditional restaurant. You can't come and play, you know, the boxing machines and the basketball machines at a traditional restaurant. I'm trying to give this side of town something that they've never seen.
Ma'am,
I planned on being open those hours. Oh, I planned on being open, you know, late to midnight, so that our staff can also be able to make money before the games go off. The NBA games don't go off until midnight.
I guess for clarity for staff, simple yes or no. Would the hours alter the recommendation from staff?
No, sir.
No?
No, no. That's not the only thing that we considered in our recommendation.
Any questions of other commissioners? Mr. Joyner, do you have anything you want to ask her?
No, thank you, sir.
I do have a question, ma'am. This is the chairman. You're talking about possibly having $15 cover charge events. What kind of events are you pertaining to that?
St. Patrick's.
I assume would have a large audience.
St. Patrick's Day, such as holidays, such as that. Homecomings for Savannah State. We can have, you know, wedding receptions, you know, things that anniversary parties, all
you're
sorts of things.
Have $15 cover charge for that, are you?
No, sir. Not for the, no, sir. It's just, it'll be preset, sir. But okay. Things such as, you know, St. Patrick's Day and holidays such as that, you know, the 4th of July, things such as that.
Because parking has been a problem in the past. We all know that. And it's encroached into that neighborhood. And if you've talked to Family Dollar.
Yes, sir.
I believe there's a laundromat there, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, that parking lot is always full.
Yes, sir.
It was that way just when high school Benedictine was renting the football field for Friday nights. There was nowhere to park.
Yes, sir.
So you have an understanding with Family Dollar?
Yes, sir. I've gone ahead and talked to them. I've also talked to Savannah State. Me and the Dean of Student Council, we've also talked about all of this, sir.
Any more questions from the board?
Was there any input from surrounding neighbors?
Mr. Noah, and that question for the rest of the board was response from neighboring property owners. We did receive phone calls from some of the residents on Willowmere Drive. We did not receive any letters of support or opposition specifically, but more so for information.
I had received, this is Chairman, Mr. Welch, I have received a phone call from the owner of the house at Camellia Court, right at the corner of LaRoche Avenue and Camellia, in deep concern, only because of the past history. And, you know, cars parked in his yard in the past. Any other questions from the board? If not, I'm going to ask, is there anybody in the audience who wish to speak on this matter? Please raise your hand on the computer. We will address you, and you have 3 minutes for comment. Nobody? There's nobody in the audience that wishes to ask or has a comment.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is Karen Jarrett. I just wanted to clarify if they get turned down for this special use permit, a restaurant would still be acceptable there with beer and wine only, right?
That's correct.
Okay,
Mr.
Lawson,
you can comment on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Ms. Jarrett's question, a restaurant with alcohol sales is a permitted use in the zoning district. But I just wanted to clarify that today's recommendation will be forwarded to City Council, and they'll be making the final determination as to the special use.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I have a question for staff right quick. Mr. Lotson, just wanted to be clear with the special use. You said it is indeed permissible for a restaurant with alcohol sales. And is it a fact that it just has to be a certain percentage of the food over the alcohol sales? Just so I'm clear.
That's correct, Mr. Stevens. That's a definition within the City of Savannah's revenue ordinance that determines whether a use is a restaurant or a bar based on the percentage of sales of food over alcohol.
Okay, just wanted to be clear. Thank you.
This is Eula Park. I have one quick question for Mr. Lotson as well. If this was strictly just a restaurant, would the parking then continue to be an issue, or is it only because of the special use?
Well, the parking is an existing condition, and I just brought that to the board's attention from the standpoint of what was described as the likely need here based on the petitioner's intentions. It's not that they wouldn't be able to, or someone wouldn't be able to establish a restaurant because it is an existing commercial building and has previously operated as a sports bar.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Lee Smith, for the staff, were neighborhood meetings held, or not just individual, but were meetings held with everyone, including residents within a certain distance?
I think that's a question for Ms. Treadwell. She did indicate that she met with some neighbors, but I can't tell you the type of meeting that was held.
I'm just curious as to attendance and kind of the demeanor at the time. Mm-hmm.
Not any that staff participated in, though.
So, if I may, Ms. Chairman, Ms. Treadwell, did you hold meetings with not just businesses, but maybe residents in the area? And if so, what kind of reception did you receive?
Yes, sir. I've talked to many people in that neighborhood, and the neighbors, they're excited. They're happy to see a new business coming back into the area. And I even talked to Ms. Florence, who unfortunately passed away due to COVID. And they were all on board. They were very excited and just very hopeful for us in our journey.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any questions? Well, if not, ma'am, you want to make one more final plea, you have the floor for 3 minutes if you have anything else you'd like to state.
I just also want to say that I talked to Ms. Edna Jackson about this, and I got the support from plenty of people pertaining to this business. They were very skeptical at first, but when I went into further detail with them about my security measures and my the plans and aspirations I have in putting forth effort in opening this business and running this business and making sure that this business is safe for the community, they were they want to give us a chance. And I just pray that you guys just give us a chance as well. And I also just want to elaborate really quickly on the door charges that I mentioned before. That's only to cover our towing fees and for special events that we have, due to holidays. And that's it. That's all I have. And I just thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. I guess now we'll put this to vote.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Lee Smith, make a motion to support staff recommendation.
Do I have a second?
Karen Jarrett, second.
Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to accept staff's recommendation of denial by Mr. Lee Smith. Ms. Karen Jarrett, a second. We'll now go to a vote. Oh, sorry, discussion. Yes, sir, Mr. Wayne.
For clarity, this will go to City Council voted down, and they can make a decision at that level. It could go either way at City Council. Is that true?
That's correct, Mr. Noah. This is like a zoning action, right, where the MPC's recommendation gets forwarded to the council.
Correct. I just want to make sure that Ms. Treadwell understood that as well. Thank you.
You do understand that, Ms. Treadwell? I will go to a vote.
Yes.
Any more discussion? Any commissioner? Mr. Rural Joiner?
Aye.
Mr. Woodwoody?
Aye.
Mr. Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
No.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Ms. Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
No.
Ms. Eula Parker?
No.
Dwayne Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Lauren Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Lee Smith?
Yes.
Yes. The ayes have it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Stevens. I apologize. Can I change my vote to no, please?
Who is this?
Mr. Stevens.
I don't. It's still 7-4.
Okay.
With the motion carried, so the denied passes. Staff recommendation passes. Thank you. Next item. Item 14, variance request, 4410 Agiche Road. Your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just ask briefly that all members on the phone, if you can mute their mics, please. We're just getting some feedback here in council chambers. So at issue is a variance request for the removal of the buffer requirement at 4410 Ogeechee Road. And that buffer requirement variance request is only with the adjacent property to the east, which is 4402 Ogeechee Road. And this is in conjunction with land development of the site. Here's a vicinity map showing the property shaded in black. There's also a zoning map hatched out. It is in the BC zoning district. To the west is the RMF2 zoning district and A1 back behind it. Here's an aerial map, Ogeechee Road out front. This was formerly a mobile home park that is vacant. There is a house there which is vacant as well as a furniture business that is currently vacant. The property to the east, just to describe that a little bit, there is a single family residence on this parcel right here, and there's also a mobile home on this back parcel right here. I wanted to highlight some of the background on this property. The subject property received subdivision approval in January of 2021. And that is this exhibit right here. So the original parcel was this, where you see area 1V-2 and area 1V-1, that was all one parcel. They subdivided that, and the parcel that's going through the land development process right now is this area 1V-1. The parcel in front is 1.5 acres. This parcel in back is 3.05 acres. And a general development plan was also submitted in January of 2021. And just to highlight the development process here for some of you that may not know or might not be as familiar with it, the GDP is the general development plan. It's essentially a preliminary plan, almost in the form of a conceptual site plan, where they get feedback from city staff, engineering, stormwater, sewer and water, as well as MPC, that does this use conceptually fit in this zoning district? Does the building footprint that they are showing conceptually work when it comes to setbacks, site coverage, stormwater, all of those sorts of things? The next step after this, you can get GDP approval. The next process is SDP, which is a specific development plan. That's where we dig down into more of the nuts and bolts. We look at, you know, buffer requirements. We look at setbacks. We look at building coverage, more under the lens of a microscope, essentially. Does it comply with all ordinance requirements? So that is site plan approval. Then it goes to the building plan approval process with the city, where building permits are then issued. So this is the first step. There could be some changes after this GDP process, just given what the comments were. So there can be some changes. Just wanted to orient all members as far as what that process is. The GDP plan proposes a retail use consisting of a six-tenant building. That's a total of 7,260 square feet. It's also important to note here that a 40-foot access easement and utility easement provides access to the rear parcel. The petitioner is requesting a variance to not provide a use buffer on the eastern property line only, which is this, that's the top side of the screen, north on the screen, but is east in real life. Here is that access easement, utility easement to serve the rear parcel. The property to the east of the subject parcel is zoned BC and has a residential use, as I previously stated. And also the property to the west of the subject parcel is zoned RMF2. However, it is a vacant undeveloped parcel and therefore no buffer is required along the western side of this subject parcel. As required by the City of Savannah zoning ordinance, all property owners within 300 feet of the subject property were sent notices of the proposed variance request. We did not receive any letters of opposition or letters of support. There were a few calls just inquiring about what they were planning to do, and we informed the citizens that had called in and asked about that. Ordinance requires a use buffer between the adjacent property to the east due to its residential nature. Even though it is the same zoning classification, the ordinance requires a type C buffer, which is either of the following two options: a 20-foot buffer with a 6-foot fence or wall to be supplemented with 4 large trees, 7 understory trees, and 25 shrubs per every 100 linear feet. The second option is a 25-foot buffer with a 6-foot hedgerow with the same supplemental plantings as listed and previously stated. As far as Article 3, Section 3.21.9, the Planning Commission may authorize a variance in an individual case upon finding the following items. The variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan and should not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. Staff has found that the requested variance is not consistent with the intent of the ordinance and comprehensive plan. There is a potential to be injurious to the adjacent property owner by not providing the ordinance required buffer. However, if the adjacent parcel to the east develops as a commercial use, this variance request would be consistent with the zoning ordinance requirements, as no buffer would be required. The adjacent parcel to the east is currently inconsistent with the zoning ordinance because it is a residential use in a commercially zoned district. The next test is special conditions. Special conditions and or circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved, and which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. Staff has found there are no special conditions or circumstances that are peculiar to the land or structures involved here. Providing a 40-foot access easement does decrease the developable area of the parcel. However, this occurs throughout the city and is not truly unique to this parcel alone. It's also important to note that if the adjacent parcel was residential or was not residential, then no buffer would be required and thus no variance would need to be requested. The adjacent property owner has indicated that they have engaged with a commercial broker to market their property for sale. The next test is special conditions and or circumstances do not result from the actions of the applicant. Staff has found the special conditions purely result from the actions of the applicant based on their development plan. Next condition is the special conditions or circumstances are not purely financial in nature so as to allow the applicant to use the land, buildings, or structures involved more profitably or to save money. Staff has found that the request for relief is potentially financial in nature as they could construct a smaller building without the need to request a variance. However, if they waited long enough for the adjacent parcel to develop and not be residential, then this request would not be necessary because it would conform with the zoning ordinance. The literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under the terms of the ordinance would result in unnecessary and undue hardship to the applicant. Under that test, staff has found that the literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would not limit the petitioner's ability to use the property for use permitted in the zoning district. The next test is the variance, if granted, is the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use of land, buildings, or structures. Staff has found that the variance is not the minimum variance necessary to accommodate the proposed land development, as a different building or parking lot configuration could allow the same overall square footage, but not encroach into the buffer requirement. And the final test is for special privilege not granted, that the variance would not confer on the applicant any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. The staff has found that the variance, if granted, would potentially confer on the applicant special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. However, consideration must be given to the nature of the situation, with the adjacent parcel being residential and a likely future use of the adjacent parcel to the east as commercial. Staff recommends denial of the variance request to remove the use buffer requirement. However, staff recommends approval of a 10-foot buffer with a 6-foot solid fence or wall and landscaping requirements consistent with a Type C buffer per the zoning ordinance. And just to highlight those one more time for you, those landscaping requirements would be 4 large trees, 7 understory trees, and 25 shrubs for each 100 linear feet, in addition to what I previously described. Be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Any questions?
This is Eula Park. I do have one. You said on the west side, that portion will be residential, but there's no buffer requirement there, but we're only requiring it on the east side?
That's correct. So currently on the west side, it's zoned RMF. The property is vacant. There's a provision of ordinance that when it's vacant, that no buffer is required by ordinance.
Okay. Sounds like good.
Any other commissioner have a question? If not, I'm going to ask, is the petitioner here today?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. This is Travis Burke with Coleman Company. I am representing potential property developer today on this. And I think Mr. Holloway did a great job going through the description of the request, the requirements of being able to grant a variance and, the condition of, the property to the north or to the east. This is on the Highway 17 corridor, which has been, historically commercial and industrial corridor for, probably 50 plus years since, Highway 17 has been the main access, north, south, all the way from North Carolina to Florida. And this area has really seen a lot of redevelopment recently. If you guys are familiar with it, we have got across the street, recently the property is redeveloped. There's a Dunkin' Donuts over there, Firehouse Subs. Recently, Sherman Williams went in across the street. In Market has redeveloped a site out there and created a nice new convenience store right down the road. So this corridor is seeing a lot of new growth, a lot of new redevelopment growth. And that's why our client is interested in developing this property. Fortunately, I guess for him being the kind of the first one in, so to speak, in this area of being redeveloped, he is somewhat penalized with having to provide, the buffer to the adjacent residential use, even though the zoning is the same zoning, the BC zoning. And so that's why we had put in the petition for the request of the variance of the buffer there, feeling like that, probably in the very near future, the property to the east there will redevelop and it'll be some type of business use. And then, there's no requirement for a buffer at that time. Obviously my client doesn't want to sit back and wait until, that development occurs. So, again, I guess kind of being the first one in is a little bit punitive, having to provide the buffer. We would like to not provide a buffer. We could plant the 5 feet that we have, adjacent to the back of the curb to provide some buffering temporarily until that property does develop. If the board and commission does not feel like that is acceptable, we would, we could work with the 10-foot as staff has recommended. But, we would first like to, ask that you consider, not requiring a buffer or allowing us to plant heavily the 5 feet that we're proposing now, in the interim till that adjacent property develops. But other than that, I would be glad to answer any questions you guys may have.
Any questions from commissioners?
Karen Jarrett here. So have you considered a redesign in order to provide the buffer and to save that 36-inch live oak that's right on the drive, it looks like?
We have. We have looked at it, and yeah, I think we've had the arborists out there. That 36-inch live oak is not in the best of health. You know, the adjacent property has a shed and a driveway there. They park in that area all the time. There's overhead power utilities through there, so it's been trimmed on through the years. So we haven't got the report back to verify that it is in sufficient health to preserve.
Is it possible to redesign and get the square footage that he wants without go ahead.
We could do that and provide the 10 feet as staff had requested, but beyond that, we would end up losing square footage and end up dropping a shop. And then at that point, based on, you know, the cost of development and leasing and things of that nature, it probably would not be, you know, viable for the intended use.
Have you considered sharing the detention area with the property to the south? North, I'm sorry.
We have not. I'm not sure the adjacent property owner has had that conversation.
Okay. And the property owner of the residential property, have you explored any options with him to see if you could work together on that property?
We have initially, and we thought that we were going to get a letter of support from them, you know, for the 5 feet planted. And then I guess the communications between them kind of stopped. I don't know if they've got the property under contract and their potential purchaser has other plans. So that's where our conversation stopped.
All right. Thank you. What about a fence? The fence is, you're definitely willing to put it, you're willing to do whatever it is you need to do to develop it, right?
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions from commission?
I have one, sir.
Mr. Wayne Noah.
Has this property already been subdivided or is this a proposed subdivision?
It has already been. Yes, sir. It was subdivided earlier in the year.
Any other questions from commissioners? We'll move along. Is there anybody in the audience? Please raise your hand on your computer who wishes to speak on this issue, for or against. Mr. Sam Molino.
Yes.
State your name for the record, sir, and state your case.
Can everyone at the meeting hear me?
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to make one comment that I think it would be a good thing for the city and for the development of this parcel. And I have tried to work the numbers out, and by losing one unit, it would be very detrimental to me financially. So I plan on doing more business in the Savannah area. I'm already looking at another site or two for future development, and I appreciate anything that the board can do on my behalf. And thank you very much for your time.
I have two more questions.
Mr. Wayne, you have a question for Mr. Molino?
No, sir, for staff.
For staff.
It actually goes off of.
Hold on first. Does anybody have a question or anything for Mr. Molino? Okay, Mr. Wayne Noah.
One question from earlier. The petitioner asked about or talked about an arborist or someone going out and stating that the tree was. What is the process for that? Does the city, I know the county has a new arborist. This is in the city area. Do they weigh in on that, or is this weighed in by strictly the property owner? And then I know what the ordinance says, and I know the, I'm sure we can all deduct what the reasoning behind it was, but the property to the north, or everything either to the north or to the east, whichever way that is commercial. The adjacent property owners are stating they're wanting to go commercial. It would not make sense for it to stay residential. And I'm willing to work with someone that is, you know, with the, whether it be the tree or the setback, to think, to make things viable, but the guidelines are there put in place. And that's why I asked about the rear property line, you know, going back or something. We're not here to redesign a project. That's why he pays the engineers. But is your only staff, is your only concern the residential, current residential use of the property in your recommendation to the north?
So that's a contributing factor, and we have to look at it as a worst case scenario. So right now that adjacent property, it does exist as residential. He could say he has the intent to market it as commercial, but worst case scenario, let's say he sells the property, something happens, and then someone buys that house and continues to operate it as residential. You know, we have to look at it through that lens of protecting that potential future resident for what exists currently, not what exists down the road. Now, if that property was already commercial, then, you know, that would be null and void because we wouldn't be here at all because it wouldn't be required. But when we're reviewing these cases and requests, we have to look at it through the lens of the ordinance of worst case scenario, which shows that it's currently residential. It could be residential in the future, even though they show that they want to market it for being commercial. We have no way of saying, well, okay, you know, in 5 years it'll be commercial or developed because everyone's timeline is different. So that's how we view these things.
So for clarity, if the furniture store next store was operating today, you would have had a different view on that side?
Yes. So just let me clarify and backtrack a little bit. So the furniture next door, so different zoning district than what this one is. So it's a little bit apples to oranges. But if it was operating next door, no buffer would be required. So to the west, which is, we're calling that parcel vacant, no buffer is required because it is vacant. If it did have a commercial use, no buffer would be required there either, because essentially it would be retail to retail. And when looking at the buffer requirements, they would line up and be same, similar uses, no buffer would be required.
But the zoning is RMH, correct?
That's correct.
Which is a residential mobile home, correct?
Was RMF, residential multifamily.
Oh, okay. But that is a residential designation.
That's correct. It's zoned that, but there's a vacant use. And in the buffer requirements, they look at vacant land as well as uses in determining what the buffer requirements are.
Okay, I'm going to ask for Mr. Edward Jenkins, who's in the audience. Unmute your button, please, sir. State your name for the record, Mr. Edward Jenkins.
Yes, this is Edward Jenkins.
Yes, sir. You may speak.
Yes, sir. I am part owner of the property next door that Mr. Molino wishes to develop. I do not currently live there, but my mother and my sister and brother-in-law do. We do have intentions of marketing the property to be sold as commercial. I do not believe it would ever be sold as residential. The fact that it is still residential and that there's still people living there, we were concerned a little bit with the setbacks. As far as building where they would go. And talking to different people, we just didn't have quite a clear plan as to what exactly was going to be done, because the The site plan that we looked at, which is the one that you just showed, showed no setbacks. We talked with one of the realtors and was said that, you know, the 10-foot setback was mentioned, but we never saw any plans and we never knew how concrete any of this was going to be. So at that point, we put off signing any agreements because we just didn't know exactly what was going to be done. So my sister, Kay Scott, and my brother-in-law, Richard Scott, I believe they should weigh in on this also.
Are they there with you?
No, sir. They're at a separate location.
Are they in the meeting? They are in the meeting.
They should be in the meeting.
Do they wish to speak now? Oh, I got it right here, Richard Scott. Richard Scott, are you available?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Mute your button. Okay. State your name for the record.
Richard Scott.
And what would you like to say, sir?
Yes, sir. I'd just like to add to what Mr. Jenkins said. I am married to one of the property owners, Kay Scott. And we have discussed with the realtor the setbacks, and we discussed the putting up the buffer, but we have been told multiple different things. We've been told that the variance was for the setbacks, not for a buffer, to remove the buffer. We were told that there were 10-foot setback, there was a 20-foot setback, there was a, now that we hear there's a 5-foot setback. You know, it's just, it's very unclear as to what the variance is covering. So it's hard for us to make a decision. That's why we did not sign a paper, you know, for Mr. Molino, giving him permission to remove this. We are currently still living there. Do not know how long we will be living there as a resident. We do not actively have the property on the market. That has been discussed, but it is not actively on the market right now. So to say we would agree to no setback or no buffer, you know, if Mr. Molino backs out and does not actually develop this property and this variance is given and something else is developed there with that approval of the setback or buffer or whatever they're trying to change, like I said, is not really clear to us. But that would move on to the next property owner, and they would not have to ask for any buffer or any setback if it was approved by the committee today. So that is, we are against changing anything because, again, we are not really clear on exactly what they're asking.
Anybody have any questions for Mr. Scott or Mr. Jenkins? You want to clarify? Okay.
Mr. Scott, the variance that they're requesting is for the buffer requirement only. Just wanted to inform you, in that zoning district, the building setbacks for the side yard is 15 feet. So that applies to the building only. It doesn't apply to the paving right there or anything like that. So no variances are being requested for that purpose, only for the buffer. As far as variances, if a variance was granted here today, if the site was not developed within a year, then that variance request expires. So any new property owner, developer, or even if it's the same developer, if a year has gone by and they have not constructed or developed the site, it then expires and they have to come back through the process.
Okay, I have a question about that. So if Mr. Molino decides not to build this unit and decides to build something totally different, then within that year, then I have no say of what the buffer is going to be, correct?
Can you repeat that one more time, sir?
Okay. So Mr. Molino right now is planning on building this shopping center or the outlet mall or whatever it is. If he decides to change this after this, if this is approved, then he can change things around, and the buffer, you know, would not be within that year. He would not have to go by the buffer. Is that what you're saying?
Yes and no. So just to clarify, if the board here today recommends denial, and overall the variance request is denied totally, then they would still have to provide that buffer in some sort of fashion. If they approve an alternative variance request of one that we threw out as far as a 10-foot buffer with the fence and all those provisions, then they have to build that 10-foot. They can't ever decrease that amount. It's going to stay that 10 feet and it can't go less. Even if there are other changes to that site plan, let's say they take one of the tenants away or anything like that, or if they just reconfigure the building a little bit, they are still legally required to provide that minimum requirement of 10 feet if they push through that variance request, or the ordinance required 20 or 25 feet as the ordinance requires right now.
Okay, so what you're recommending is a 20-foot buffer with a six-foot fence?
No, so we're recommending denial of their request to have no buffer, We are recommending approval of a 10-foot buffer with a 6-foot solid fence or wall, and then the landscaping requirements consistent with the Type C buffer, which is what the 20-foot buffer would require. So that's 4 large trees, 7 understory trees, 25 shrubs for every 100 linear feet along that property line.
Okay, so would the shrubbery and trees be on the east side of the fence, or would it be on the west side of the fence?
It's going to be on the east side of the fence.
So it would be between the fence and our property. Correct. So the property owner there would be responsible for upkeep.
Yes. Yeah, right. That'd be all. Okay. Be responsible for that.
Okay. My question, what type of fence? Is it a wooden fence, or
there's a bunch of different yeah. fencing materials that are allowed by ordinance requirements. Wood is one of those. Chain link fence is not permitted. I just want to be clear about that. Chain link fence is not permitted. They have to be opaque. So they can't be see-through at all. So whether it's a vinyl fence, a wood fence, a masonry wall, a combination of masonry posts and then vinyl in between, those are allowed, but chain link is not a permitted fencing material.
Okay. And see, we were just worried or concerned if a wooden fence is put up, over time that wood is going to deteriorate. So I don't want, if we stay, just because even if we put our property up for sale as commercial, it doesn't mean it's going to sell. Okay. And we're going to have to live there until it does sell. If we do decide to put it up, on the market. So what I'm getting at is eventually the fence is going to deteriorate if it's a wooden fence, and I don't want to have to, it's going to be a hassle to try and make sure that the fence is kept up if that makes sense. That's my concern.
I can understand that as far as property maintenance goes. I'm assuming most, commercial entities have, property maintenance to handle those sorts of things. If it becomes, beyond the point of disrepair, code enforcement can also handle that as well.
Yes, sir. And I guess that's what I'm referring to, is it would be us having to complain to get it done. there's just concerns about, the type of buffer and everything. So and then the no buffer, I agree with the denying that. And then the 20-foot buffer, there's still some concerns that I have for that as well. So.
Yes, Mr. Noah.
A 20-foot buffer and a fence, there would be no variance, correct?
That's correct. So if they had
wanted Mr. Scott to understand that the fence goes up and and the buffer is planted, they meet requirements and there would be no variance here, or, you know, any input. Thank you.
Are you satisfied with that, Mr. Scott?
I just wanted to be clear. So they're going to have the opportunity to put the 20-foot buffer with the 6-foot fence and the shrubbery and trees, regardless. Is that what I'm hearing or understanding?
No. So the request that's been brought forth is to provide no buffer, which we are not in support of.
Yes, sir. I am not either.
What Mr. Noah was talking about is if they provided a 20-foot buffer with a 6-foot fence and those plantings that I described, no variance would be necessary, and we wouldn't be having this public hearing today to even discuss that. So they always
understand
that option. I don't think they want to act on that because that limits their site developability, according to them. So that's why we proposed kind of a meeting in the middle option of 10-foot with a buffer with a 6-foot fence and all of the required landscaping that would normally go with that 20-foot buffer.
Okay, I understand that. And I'm not in 100% agreement, just because there's still some concerns with, you know, future, which none of us really know what the future holds. So
are there any more questions of the commissioners to Mr. Scott? Any discussion with commissioners, board members?
So Lee Smith, so as I understand it, with the 10-foot, this is one of the recommendations, a 10 with the fence and plantings, correct?
That's correct. Our formal recommendation is denial of what they requested, which was no buffer whatsoever. Our alternative recommendation for approval is the 10-foot buffer with a 6-foot fence and the required plantings from that Type C buffer. Okay. I described earlier.
And they'll have to choose to accept it or not, correct?
Correct.
Let me know when you're ready for a motion.
I'm looking for a motion. If there's no more discussion,
make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
Is that the option?
Staff recommendation was to deny the 20-foot buffer, but approve the 10-foot buffer with the 6-foot wall.
Deny no buffer.
Like I said, I will accept staff's recommendation for the 10-foot buffer with the appropriate amendments.
Second.
Okay, we'll go to vote. Mr. Tom Woodwoody?
Aye.
Dwayne Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Joseph Irvin?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Karen Jarrett?
Reluctantly, yes.
Elizabeth Epstein?
Yes.
Mr. Travis Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Eula Parker?
Yes.
Dwayne Noah?
Yes.
Ms. Laureen Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Smith made the motion?
Yes.
And Mr. Joyner second. Motion passes. With that being said, I do have one announcement to make, that on our regular business, item 13, special use request for the 4429 Skidaway Road restaurant alcohol sales, we did receive a phone call from Ms. Edna Jackson, who wanted to make clear that she has not been notified by Ms. Treadwell. She has neither spoke to her, or I got a call from her, and she is not in favor of this. So just wanted that to go on record. Edna Jackson has not talked to Ms. Treadwell at all
about any of the special use or anything for a Skidaway Bar and Grill. Okay. With that being said, our next meeting is March 16th, as we stated, and we wish everybody a wonderful week. Enjoy the weather while we have it.
Motion to adjourn.
Anybody have anything they want to say before we go? Meeting adjourned.